This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. The world of journalism and public relations has changed dramatically during the last two decades, mainly due to the rise of the internet and 24/7 cable news outlets. Here to share their thoughts on the rapidly changing landscape of public relations and journalism are Carrie Phillippe, Public Relations Director with Copper Fox Marketing, Robert Pasquinucci, UC's McMicken College of Arts and Sciences Director of Marketing and Publications, and Michael Perry, Counselor and Vice President of Content Strategy for Veer Communications. The Cincinnati Society of Professional Journalists and the Cincinnati Chapter of Public Relations, Society of America are going to hold a joint panel discussion August 28th. Is that right, Carrie?
Yes.
You'll be discussing this very topic, the changing role of media and public relations.
Yes, tomorrow evening, and it's being held at Veer Communications.
Okay. And you can join the conversation today at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Michael, a friend of mine who works as a reporter happens to be much younger than I am. We've had a discussion about what's happening to the world of reporting. And he says, well, get used to these changes. You can't be a radio reporter or just a TV reporter or just a print reporter anymore. Today, we're all what he calls MMJs, multimedia journalists. Do you think he has something there?
Yeah, I mean, that's been evolving for years, actually. And the mobile multimedia thing has been going on for many years. And I think social media is a part of that too now. And certainly that job is evolving and changing by the day.
And Rob, you know, does he have something? If you expand on this, when it comes to being a media company, is a case of you just can't concentrate on one thing anymore, like you probably were able to 25 years ago.
Right, you used to be able to walk out of college and be a really good writer, a really good photographer, or a really good reporter, and be guaranteed a job throughout your career. And now you need to be able to do many things. Whether you're a PR person that also is a really good writer that also could do photography, maybe edit radio copy, all those things, you're required to do multiple things. You know, the graduates we have at UC are walking out and working for TV stations, but they're doing writing mostly and social media content, which is a departure from when they used to be on air or writing the copy behind the scenes, and that would be it. So things have changed a lot, and you see it in the New York Times just this week announced that one of their managing editors is from the business side, and her job will be to try to cultivate readers on mobile platforms and through social media. And that's a big, important part of what they need to do to stay relevant in this new landscape.
So what do you make of one of the recent signs of what's going on in the changing media world? It happened earlier this month. We had three major media companies, EW Scripps, Gannett, and Tribune, all announced that they were spinning off their print properties
right
into separate companies. And what are they trying to achieve by doing this?
I think the legacy and the cost of the production of printing things, we saw this even in Cincinnati, I believe the Enquirer is now published by Dispatch up in Columbus, that cost is a very big thing that they have to deal with, and they want to get rid of that, quite frankly, because the mobile platforms, the digital platforms are cheaper and easier to get to the folks and get them where they're at. I mean, we're all sitting here with mobile phones right next to us, can find out about things. Or desktop computers or tablets. That's where people are. And the media companies are struggling to quickly get to where people are on a daily and minute-by-minute basis.
Well, I think the other struggle is to monetize it.
Absolutely.
This is a business discussion when you talk about where things are being printed and the division of print and broadcast. But it's really coming down to everybody knows they need to move into digital and mobile, but can they monetize it enough to survive?
So, Carrie, is it fair to say that if you are a media company these days that you either keep up or you go out of business?
I think that's pretty much true for any company in any industry. I mean, technology has revolutionized just about every segment. And the public relations field is so closely aligned with the news outlets and news organizations that we obviously have had to adapt as they make changes and as they go through all of these shifts in what they're doing.
Michael, you were talking about the social media earlier, and an interesting thought of the day comes from an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal, and I actually am holding a newspaper here, so it's written by Holman Jenkins Jr., and it's talking about the value of social media, and he asks a rather compelling question here, and I'm wondering what each of you might think of this. He asks, most of all, why wait for an accidental witness to tweet the news? Why not pay the world's security camera owners, Google Glass wearers, and smartphone toters to scan their surroundings for real-time news events that are happening in progress?
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge there is you don't have any context and you don't have anybody to ask the questions about what you just saw. And so I think a lot of people think there's still a great place for journalists and good reporting because someone's got to ask those questions and someone's got to provide the context. So I think that's the gap between that article and reality.
Do you think it's tougher for newspapers, Michael, to adapt to the digital world than, say, electronic media like TV, radio? Or do you think they all equally face the same challenges equally?
I think they're all adapting in different ways. It's just a matter of how they're doing it. And it comes down to some of the individuals. Individuals are adapting, and that doesn't necessarily mean by age. Just some people are more open-minded and excited about new ways of telling stories than others.
Rob, what's the good and the bad about what's happening in the media landscape these days?
Well, I think the good is you've got more opportunities to connect with the news. And to Michael's point, it's going to be critical for these media companies to contextualize it and connect the dots, because our news is coming at us in 140 character tweets or Facebook posts. I mean, how many people learned about Robin Williams' death via social media? So that's in some ways the good, but the bad is you aren't getting the context. You aren't getting the story behind the story, and you're hearing these sound bites and 140 character tweets about something, and you're following only the things you care about. So if it's a contentious issue that there's two sides of, you might be following the side that you're aligned with, and you may not see the other side of the story as readily as if you had to page through a print newspaper or look through a publication. The other concern is this native advertising or brand journalism. I have a book on that sitting right next to me, a print book, but the brands are doing their own content marketing, which is great, but a lot of times those show up as real stories, and some people may click those thinking, not realizing the sponsorship behind it, and not see that that's a sponsored paid piece of content and not an objective journalistic piece. So that's the watch out, I think, for a lot of folks. And that's what I tell my students, to consume media with sort of a jaundiced eye, to realize, okay, is this a news story or not? I mean, before you used to be able to see when you went to commercial break on TV or radio. Now it's kind of mixed in with all the web content you're seeing in your social media feeds or online.
You know,
I think there's also a quality issue there, because I don't think that the news and the stories as they're posted are vetted in the same way that they used to be, as far as having multiple sources, checking the story for accuracy, making sure everything is correct. So I think also you see a lot of misreporting, and then that kind of gets out into the public and goes viral, if you will, and everybody assumes that's the story. And then when the quote real story comes out later, it can be a little bit harder for people to digest that. And some people still talk about it as if it were the incorrect story.
You know, there have been several cases of that very thing that you're talking about, Carrie, happening. I mean, we had a story the other day about a heroic act by a college football player that immediately went viral, and everybody's saying, great, and all the media are running with this. And then all of a sudden, everybody's saying, well, wait a minute, we're not 100% sure that's what happened.
Exactly. And then some people might never hear the correction or see a correction. So the false information kind of can get out there and live on.
Well, and the more newspapers cut their copy editors and encourage the reporters to go right from the scene to the internet, I think you're going to see more and more of that. And papers are actually, I don't want to say bragging about that, but now as they rewrite job descriptions, they're saying,
yeah,
our reporters are going to be more nimble, and they're going right to the internet, and only select people understand that bypassing that copy editing process is really scary.
So you're getting the news unfiltered and raw as it's happening. It's kind of the selling point that they're using in this case.
Which at times will be good, and at times will be bad.
It could be useful. I mean, if I'm heading home from work and there's a huge accident on 71 and somebody tweets about it, that's good to know.
Real time.
But, you saw earlier this summer there was the fire at Kings Island. And you know, you start seeing the tweets and you're like, whoa, you know, I have friends up there, I have family up there. And then quickly it was like not a big deal. And I realized, you know, again, the context of it, you know, and when things are happening real time, you can get people panicked and worried about stuff that may not be as big a concern.
And then if you cry wolf too many times by hyping something, a huge storm is coming or there's a huge accident that's backing up and people decide not to go to their destination or what have you. And really there was no need for that. So you can also have that kind of thing happen.
Do you remember the old game as a kid where you whispered something in somebody's ear?
Telephone.
Then you turned to the next person and whispered it on, and by the time it got to the end, you saw how accurate the what you were saying was or was it that was not at that point. Do you think that might be what's happening a little bit with the media these days?
I think sometimes, I mean, with the retweet, you've got an easy way to just copy exactly what is happening, and a lot of people link to other stories. So to some extent, that doesn't happen. But certainly when you retell, you add your own little spice to it.
Rob, what is this doing to the balance between journalists and public relations people? I mean, way back in the dark ages when I was in college, we talked about the idea that journalists were gatekeepers of news and information. And if you were in public relations, you relied on journalists to help get your message out. Now you have all these different kinds of ways of doing that. So how is that whole
it used to be the earned media, the owned media, and the paid media of being a paid advertisement. Now you've got this addition of the earned or the owned media, which is content marketing, which is the content you put on your website. We have organizations, and I know Carrie could probably speak to this too, that basically build their own platform, a web platform for people with questions about maybe a medical procedure. And it's sponsored content that helps answer those questions. So it's valuable, but the difference is it's not objective. It's sponsored by an organization. It's a great way to get a message out. It's a great way to get that out. And there's no filter. There's no journalist involved. And sometimes these platforms can take on a life of their own and be seen as a very valuable source. And that's great. But again, the consumer has to be aware of that. So as the PR person, you now can actually wear the hat of almost a quasi journalist and be a brand journalist and go out there and write stories about your brand and how people are using it or interacting with it, whether it be Coca-Cola or Red Bull or anything. And you know, that's a great opportunity for journalists and people graduating from UC in Miami and NKU. But the concern, I guess, for the people on the other side is to understand those differences before they watch or read.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And, Carrie, you had an experience where, you're teaching at Miami and the class you're teaching is a public relations class, and the numbers of kids who are going into that class are amazing compared to what they were a few years ago.
Yes, it's my understanding that last year they just had about 190 students in the major, and now they're up to about 500 plus, about 550. So there's a lot of interest, and a lot of just anecdotally, the kids I meet and the young people, they want to study communications. They want to be writers. It's definitely something that people are interested in.
Michael, as somebody who worked in the print field for a number of years, do you think that that journalism is falling by the wayside, or is there still some hope out there that kids are going to go into that field?
Well, the University of Cincinnati's journalism program is one of the biggest growing in the College of Arts and Sciences. Right. I think Rob can attest to that. I just think you have to define it differently. I've been teaching a journalism class up there for 6 years. You're just not preparing for the same job you were preparing for 10 years ago. You're preparing for a different job. Journalism means different things today than it meant back then.
And the same on the PR side. I'm not preparing them to write press releases and call media. I mean, that's part of it, but it's more context now. There's more to it. So there's more opportunities for them. But I think anytime you're a good writer, and I don't care what you go into, I think there's something to be said for learning how to write and package stories, and you can use that anywhere you go.
You have to be able to write. And I would also say, Mark, that this is not unique just to journalism and PR. There are a lot of industries where everybody has to evolve. Jobs are changing in industries all over the country. Jobs at Procter & Gamble are different than they were 10 years ago. So it's not unique to this, but it's very visible, I think.
You think it's a case of technology makes people more productive, so one person can do more jobs nowadays than they used to?
I don't know about that. Yeah, you still have to do it well, though.
You still have to do it well, but you can, you know, with the proliferation of what I have in the camera I have in this phone is able to take photos that used to have a big, heavy camera to do, and I could post those to the internet, which used to require all kinds of different steps to get that word out. So one person can do so much more than before. But to your point, they have to do it right, and they have to do it in context and with a good, you know, telling a good story and talking to the right people and getting that broad perspective that you need.
Michael, there was an article in Slate.com, I think it was back in April, that talked about how print revenue had reached its lowest point since the 1950s. So I'm just curious if any of you foresee a day when newspapers just disappear off the planet.
There will be a day when that happens, sure. And in some places, they're already down to a couple days a week, Cleveland, New Orleans. I think there will be an evolution, and there will be a time when that happens. You know, the generation that was used to reading newspapers is going to be gone eventually. I'm sure you, Rob and Carrie, agree. The students that we teach don't pick up a newspaper. Some of them have never looked at a newspaper. And so eventually, yes, that will happen. But it doesn't mean that the reporting won't exist and the information won't be there. It just won't be in print.
Just a different format, a different platform than what it used to be.
And I think for PR people, one of the things that's always been very important to our job is the third party credibility.
Right.
So we're going to tell our story through journalists, and they might be in print, they might be online, they might be bloggers, they might be broadcast journalists. There's a lot of different formats, but I think having your story told through someone else, not telling your own story, is still very, very powerful. People look at advertising and they do know that that's a paid advertisement.
Right.
Even if it's not labeled as such, I think subconsciously people understand somebody paid to prepare that advertisement. When there's a news story, no matter what format that might appear in, or a tweet or some other bit of content that can kind of endorse you or provide a testimonial, I think that is really powerful for companies.
And we talked about in the hall a little bit, the journalist as the brand. Whoever the writer or reporter or radio personality is, used to be sort of the byline you didn't necessarily notice. Now these folks need to have a Twitter following and cultivate that following and make appearances and be something more than just a reporter who files a story every day. So that's a huge difference.
Yeah, I think if you lose your job in Cincinnati, but you have a million followers, you can go to another market and you say, I'm bringing these assets with me. I already have a following. That's a plus for you. If you're a beat reporter who has 50 people following you on Twitter, that's going to be a negative. You're going to be reviewed on that in the very near future, and that's going to end up, hurting your ability to keep your job, I think.
And one of the things that in public relations and journalism that we always talk about, one of the skills that we always value so much is storytelling. And I just wonder, is what you're saying that now your social media skills are perhaps more important than your storytelling skills?
I don't know about more important, but they might be as important, because those are the assets that the company wants you to have. And if the audience is going to die off in print slowly and you don't have it online and digitally, then you're not connecting with your audience. And that's what everyone's got to do now.
And on the PR side, that's kind of a plus that these journalists have an online persona. I've been doing this for a long time, and there are many journalists that I would talk to and interact with, and maybe I had never even seen a picture of that person or didn't know too much about them. Now, through a Twitter profile or online blogging sites, I can really learn a lot about that person. It helps me make a connection, and it helps me more effectively work with that person. So it's kind of a bonus from that perspective.
As long as they stay in their job and their beat.
Right.
They don't
right.
change next week.
Well, and that's the thing. You've got
to. But then
I'll
know that they change
right.
because
that's
I can
true.
Read it yes. first before it's even announced.
Right.
You'll have seen it on Facebook.
Is there a lot? That's a good point. Is there a lot of personnel shifting going on in the
oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. You could count on a beat reporter really having a deep knowledge of a subject, personal finance or the arts. And now people move around so much, that's not always the case. But again, from the PR perspective, that can be a great asset, because we can help fill that and help educate them and give them great stories.
Right. And again, that's not just print, and that's not just Cincinnati. That's going on
right.
in the TV stations
yes.
locally.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the turnover is remarkable.
But it's still a good time, I think, to be a journalist and to learn how to do this. Even if you don't end up being a beat reporter somewhere, there's opportunities for you in corporations and anything you do. So that's what I tell my students. I'm sure you guys tell your students as well.
Well, I think a lot of the people who are losing their jobs in the media have to work really hard now at finding out what those transferable skills are. And there's a lot of them, multitasking, deadline writing, good writing and good storytelling. But people have to figure out how to translate that. And I think there is a demand. There's a lot of companies in town who are hiring the former journalists.
Tons of web content they need to fill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Corporate e-newsletters, things like that. If you can package these stories in a compelling way, you've got a future.
And when it comes to public relations, media relations is really just a small slice of what's involved. There's a lot of other aspects as far as crisis management, employee communications, other digital strategies. So it's not just, if you're in public relations, you're just working with reporters. It's certainly a part of it, but not the only part.
And I think that's the challenge in teaching, is the strategic thinking part is not always what's taught. And I think that's your class, right?
It's called public strategic communications
yeah.
planning.
So that's
right. It's changed its name from public relations to strategic communication. So that's even kind of a big shift that you're seeing.
Yeah,
but
that's
understanding the context that these social media posts need to fall into, and how you can help propel a brand or an organization or a person to another level because of this social media, and get through the clutter, which is the biggest challenge, I think, for PR professionals.
And even being able to advise clients that being somehow aligned with BuzzFeed might be better than an article in a traditional trade publication. I think there's an education standpoint. So I, the class you're teaching is really valuable. We always talk about strategic thinking at our place, and I think that's the key now, and that's how we've got to prepare students to get into this.
That's where you add value.
Yep.
One of the things that that concerns me is coverage of elections, coverage of campaigns, and coverage of how the government operates in these 24/7 news cycles. I'm really concerned that it's becoming weaker, because now the temptation is just to throw every little thing out there and not really do as much in-depth reporting as we once used to see. Newsrooms have fewer reporters, so that factors into the whole equation as well.
Absolutely. I mean, politics is, you know, and again, they own the media too. So you've got the president and people running against the president having their own Twitter feeds and their own web content that they're putting out there that's telling a story that sometimes bypasses the, if you're into that candidate, you're going to see that before you'll watch the evening news.
And you're seeing a lot more bias and opinion in the journalistic writing, whereas, you know, being very balanced and impartial was a big factor. And now that kind of goes by the wayside, and it's almost considered punchier writing and edgier to kind of add some of your own thoughts.
And it also seems like more spin doctors are getting on the air because you need to fill time. So these guys are readily available and willing
as
to do
PR
it.
As PR people, we don't like that term, spin doctor.
You are not the spin doctors. But Is the explosion of information that we're seeing and the availability of all this information, is it necessarily a good or a bad thing? You know, as we've talked about, you've got more at your fingertips nowadays, but on the other hand, you just can't be quite certain of its validity. There's less vetting going on than used to be.
There is, but I information is a good thing, I think. And there's so much of it out there. If you're a person who's just going to read one source, take that as gospel, then that's going to be your choice. But my gosh, you can Google anything and get 15 million reviews about cures for the common cold, and you can get them from your neighbors, or you can get them from doctors or the Mayo Clinic. So I don't know. I think information is a good thing if you use it to help you make decisions. But, I mean, it's out there every day. You just got to filter it a little bit.
Michael, I'm curious, how did you made the transition from news into public relations. What was the biggest difference or the biggest challenge when you did that?
Yeah, again, I think there are so many transferable skills when you sit down and think about it. And, in my last role at the Inquirer, I was launching new products, and I was part of I had a lot to do with the business side. So I think I learned some stuff outside of traditional reporting and editing. And, you know, the newspaper was changing, and I think being in PR, understanding the changes in the media and still being connected to a lot of people there is helpful. But some of it's just mentality. I always enjoyed the change, even when I was at the Inquirer for 17 years. Every time there was a change, either in my role and the way we had to do things, I kind of liked it. To me, it was a rebirth. You know, if you're going to be in a profession for 25 years, I liked it to be a little bit different and to have to be challenged to try new things. So I was happy to transition into something else and try new things.
Are you telling your students to be versatile and be prepared for all the change that he's talking about and all the different things that you'll have to do?
Yeah, I think my biggest question that I get is, you know, describe your typical day in public relations. And I can say, you know, at Copper Fox Marketing, there is no typical day. Every day is different. It's always a lot of change going on.
Looking into your crystal balls, we'll start with you, Michael. What does the future hold for the fields of journalism and public relations?
Again, I just think the definitions of what that is are going to change. And people who are going into it or want to stay in it just have to be flexible and willing to move where the business takes them. Journalism will exist. It'll just be in a different form. I don't know if there will be physical newspapers in 20 years, but there will be journalism. And I think PR also has evolved along with journalism, and Carrie talked about the strategic thinking. I think people are going to have to think about that and what that means to different clients. Rob mentioned brand journalism. I think that's a huge thing that's coming. It's already here and evolving. So I think all of this will just keep changing. And if you want to stay employed, you got to change with it.
I'm positive. I think the future is bright for both fields. I think there'll be less focus on the traditional methods and traditional media, but there'll still be a huge focus and a huge need for companies to tell their stories in different outlets. I think there'll be probably more opportunities, as Rob was saying, I don't want to steal his thunder, but for people to submit their own stories and write their own stories and even own their own media channels. But I think it's still going to be going strong.
Rob, you think the future is bright for journalism and public relations?
I'm bullish on it. I think there's lots of opportunities, more specificity, more one-to-one communication, more mobile and personalization for the stories that you're writing. And journalism just needs to find a way to contextualize the news, as we talked about earlier, and build a sustainable business model with a combination of ad dollars and reader payment and finding adjacent businesses that complement what they're doing. And I think that'll pave the way.
Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Carrie Phillippe, Public Relations Director with Copper Fox Marketing. Robert Pasquinucci, who's UC's McMicken College of Arts and Sciences Director of Marketing and Publications. And also Michael Perry, Counselor and Vice President of Content Strategy for Veer Communications. After the break, a look at a housing and education initiative coming to Northern Kentucky that's designed to fight poverty. And in Focus on Technology, Ann Thompson tells us how cleaner air could be the key to helping infertile couples conceive a child. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.